You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the show, Julianne Laurent is here, as is Shaka Hislop and Stuart Robson. By the way, later on the programme, we'll talk about Robbo's predictions last season for who would be player of the season. You could not make it up, honestly. We will start, though, with quotes from PSG president Al-Khaifi talking about a change that is afoot. For the French champions, we no longer want to be flashy and bling-bling. No more glitter. I can tell you that we expect all of the players to do much more than last season, much more. We must become humble again. You must be disciplined on and off the pitch, and whoever wants to stay in their comfort zone and not fight will be cast aside. We want players proud to represent PSG and ready to fight. Jules, I feel drawn to you, obviously, to start this. This seems all well and good, but can Leopards really change their spots?
That's true. I mean, this is the information that we were given a few weeks ago, even on the show, that is just confirmed publicly, I guess. But I take you back to 2019 when he said pretty much exactly the same thing. And I take you back to 2016 where he said pretty much the same thing as well. So you're right. Let's see. Let's wait and see. Certainly in terms of the manager, and tonight we're being told that Christophe Galtier is pretty much done as the new PSG manager. He's obviously a not bling-bling manager at all. So maybe this is the start. Luis Campos, the new sporting director, is not a bling-bling sporting director either, not like Leonardo, for example. So maybe this is what Nasser Al-Khelaifi was talking, but then for what we're going to see on the pitch and the attitude from the players, yeah, I agree with you. Let's wait and see, because I'm not too convinced by that one.
Yeah, sure. Come on.
What's a bling-bling sporting director? Jules,
for some reason, bling-bling isn't in Craig's lexicon. Can you change
What does a bling-bling sporting director do? I don't know. Does he turn up to meetings and go into these to represent the club in transfer talks looking like Mr. T?
Right, Mr. T isn't a relevant reference either.
It's just like all the jewellery, you know what I mean?
That's the diamond earrings.
Bling, bling.
Robbo,
I don't know. I mean, they did sign Messi last year and they have re-signed Mbappe.
Yes.
Brilliant players, but that's bling-bling enough, isn't it, still?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Robbo, when I think of bling-bling, I think of you, obviously.
Obviously,
He's saying all the right things, but surely it's just going out into the ether. No one's going to really react to this.
No, and if you want to get away from bling bling and you want to get away from whatever the other things he said, party football and all that sort of stuff, there's one person you have to get rid of. Until you get rid of him, you're always going to be bling bling and party football. And that's Neymar, because he's the problem, I think, for PSG. He might be a great individual player, but he doesn't do it consistently enough. He's not a team player. It's impossible for the manager to get a shape of the team when you've got somebody like Neymar playing. And he's everything that a bling bling player is. And I would say to sort all that out, you've got to get rid of him first.
Let's go from Robbo and his bling-bling sweater vest.
No, bling-bling's now up there with that documentary that was made.
The documentary.
No, don't see it.
So, it's interesting Robbo brings up Neymar. This is what Al-Khelaifi had to say. Neymar part of the new project or not? We can't speak about this in public as some players will arrive, some players will leave the club. These are private negotiations. In an ideal world, they'd get rid of Neymar, yeah, Jules?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, in a way, his answer to the question in that Marca interview gives it away. Otherwise, he would have said, no, he's our player. I mean, there was millions of ways for Nasser to kind of protect Neymar or defend it or make sure that the story was not going away, And instead, it's the complete opposite. All we talk about now is Neymar and clearly not being backed and not being supported by the club and by Nasser Al-Khelaifi, which, again, we've been saying on the show for a long time now that they haven't just opened the door a little. It's wide open, and the windows as well, and the roof and everything you want, because they want him they want him out. The problem is he doesn't want to leave to start with. He's really, really keen on staying. His contract has been automatically extended to another year, by the way, as if he didn't have enough years already on the contract that he signed last year. And the third thing is, who's going to come for him at 30 now with the wages that he's on?
Remind us of those wages, Jules.
He's 42, 43 million euros a year.
Well, we'll say, to be honest, I've seen our budget here in the show, and I think, you know, maybe we get one or two out the door, we could get them in for, you know, a couple of times a week. Who gives them these? What triggered the extension to the contract they already had that somebody clearly gave them, Jules, that means it becomes even more difficult?
It was, and when you think, Craig, that it was just a year ago. I know a year in football is long and a lot of things can happen. But how you can give him a four-year deal a year ago that then increased automatically on July the 1st to another year, and then July the 1st the following year to another year, on that kind of wages is just incredible. At his age as well, because he signed, he was obviously 29 years of age. So it's just crazy. The only way I see possible is a loan where PSG take most of that huge wages in, and then the loanee, whether it's Newcastle, Juventus, whoever you want, take the other half or a quarter or a fifth or a tenth, I don't know, whatever they can. But still, regardless the way you see it, it's an absolute nightmare for PSG if they really want to get rid of him.
When you think of Neymar and criticism of him, you think of Xhaka, of course, prominent in his documentary. Xhaka, do you want him at Newcastle?
I'm not sure that I do. I'll be honest, he'll be an incredible kind of signature signing to kind of launch whatever this new project may be. But there are a couple issues with that. Certainly the feeling within Newcastle is that the new owners aren't going to spend the kind of money that had been suggested, that is going to be a slower building process on their part, and one with a more long-term vision. I'm not sure that Neymar fits into anybody's long-term vision because of his age, because of his salary, and how that will upend things and affect future transfer dealings. So it doesn't fit for Newcastle. Of course, there's been speculation around Juventus because they had interest previously, and maybe it's a better fit there given their more rigid style and maybe wanting somebody to come in with a little bit of flair just to take them onto that next level. But again, I don't see Juventus doing that without PSG taking on a significant portion of his own wages. Whichever way PSG are going to be left holding a lot of or covering a lot of Neymar's wages, and that's their own doing, because he doesn't fit into what they are saying they're going to be going forward either.
If that's the rhetoric coming from the top of the tree, I just wonder then if there will be little pressure on the new regime to actually give him game time on the field. And then it becomes, because, you know, if they're trying to, you know, sweep the room clean and look a little further ahead, clearly by the words, he's not part of that, mm-hmm. and no surprise there. So therefore, anybody picking a side from now forward in a football parlance would be under no pressure to play him. If the ownership are backing you in terms of they're lumbered with the finances, but they're moving forward on the pitch in a different way, then what are we when the season starts for the World Cup? 4 months, something like that. How much game time is he going to get? How is that going to affect Brazil? How is that going to affect his mindset? If you're looking at it from a player's perspective, yeah, not looking at it from the financial perspective. So this could be an issue for him. I mean, I'm sure he'll get some. I mean, I imagine he'll get plenty of game time, but there is a scenario where a new manager might just say, back me here on this one. I don't want to play him. I want to try different players, different systems, different work ethic, and I need to leave him out. So it could quickly become a problem for him. Bear in mind, the World Cup is not in its normal slot.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got 12 months to figure it out. He's got 3 or 4.
Has Gaultier got the character to come in, Jules, and go head-to-head with Neymar?
It's a good question. He certainly has that image, and the players that worked with him as much as they said that he's great as man management and that kind of relationship with the dressing room, we know that he's tough. He was a tough player. He's a tough manager. He's got a very strong personality. He's from Marseille. He's from the Castle Estate. It's Marseille. You just don't mess with him. Usually when he was a player and same as a manager, he's really hot tempered. So maybe it is. I'm not sure if that's the answer, having someone like, you know, going strongly with Neymar, because as Craig just mentioned, Pochettino at times, I think, wanted to discipline more players from that dressing room, especially the ones who were late, for example, or not even turning up at training, and he was not really allowed to do it. So it's not so much if Galtier has the right personality, is if the club will let him be the boss and say, like, okay, you're the boss. If you want to take Neymar off after 45 minutes, or Messi, you can. If you want to sanction players, you can, and we won't interfere, we won't come across it, we won't do anything. It's your dressing room, this is your team, and you can do anything you want. That I'm not so sure. Whether Galtier has the personality, I think no problem. But will they let him, I'm not too sure.
Robert?
Not even turning up for training. All right, lads, we're going to do an 8v8 today. Two touch. Okay, 6v6. All right, give me five. 5v5. Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. You just can't run a club like that.
Robbo, how long would it take working with Neymar for that now world-renowned Robbo Red Mist to descend?
Oh, I would say at least 2 minutes. If you're, Galtier has obviously got the character. And he must have gone in, when he took the job, he must have gone to the chairman and the president and said, I need to run the team. You can't run the team for me. You know, I'm just going back to what Jules was saying. I'm going to be a strong manager. If I don't think Neymar fits into my plans and he's not playing well and he's not disciplined enough on the pitch, I'm not going to pick him. So he must have had that conversation already. And if he didn't get the right answers, I don't think he'd have taken the job. So I think Neymar needs to be ready for a fight with Galtier.
Just a reminder, the boys will be back for Extra Time, which, as always, is available on our YouTube channel. I've already got the questions here, Craig. They're very exciting.
But I don't want to see them.
Well, you're not going to. Don't worry.
Thank God. What the hell's he with?
I don't know. What is that?
Freaking jammies.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
If you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast. It's available over on the website. You can go through some of the archives over the last couple of weeks. We've been reflecting on everyone's Premier League picks at the start of last season. We have most definitely, without a doubt, left the best till last. Stuart Robson. You look at the teams, fine.
No, the best photo.
The photo is magnificent, but it's all about player of the year. Stuart Robson, at the start of the season, said that Harry Maguire would be the player of the Premier League season. To say that didn't quite go to plan, Robbo, is somewhat of an understatement.
Did he not have a good season? I actually thought he was magnificent. You know, he came out with the ball, he defended for his life, he showed good pace when he was recovering, he led the team well. Oh, I don't know what you're worried about, Dan. I thought he had a very good season.
No, he did, at the beginning of the season, he did for England.
Yeah, well, I assumed after these European Championship where he was outstanding, I think we all thought that him and Varane would be a good partnership. I thought Varane would have that little bit of pace. Maguire would come and be the player to come out with the ball. Manchester United would have a good season. It wasn't to be, was it? And if you look at the top scorer, what about Lukaku? He was just as shocking.
Well, that was going to be my next point, Robert. It really is a kiss of death. No one wants to be named player of the season or top scorer from you looking ahead to the next campaign. Why did it go so wrong for Lukaku, in your opinion, Robbo?
I don't think they played to his strengths to start with, because when he was at Manchester United, everyone, and anyone in England talks about him being a goal scorer. When crosses come into the box, he get on the end of things. When he played for Inter Milan, and particularly Antonio Conte, he was the focal point of every attack. They might have played round the back, but they were always looking to get it into his feet and get him and Martinez working together. He must have had more touches than any other player in the team at times. When he was at Chelsea, he had hardly any touches. They were building up slowly. They were going down the wide areas. And then his movement in the box wasn't quite good enough. He then lost confidence. He then lost fitness. So some of it was his own fault, but I don't think Thomas Tuchel got the best out of him with the tactics they used. And if he does go back to Inter, where he's not going to be popular when he first goes back because of certain reasons, he's going to have to start playing the way he did when he was there before. Good with his back to goal, make runs down the side of defenders, be powerful when the ball comes in the box. He's got to be the all-round centre-forward. He was for two seasons at Inter Milan. He was poor last season for Chelsea.
But I know that focal point when he was at Inter, but that doesn't excuse some of those performances. Mm. And you know, I've been in his camp, I've tried to give him time for quite a while.
Yes.
At the end, I mean, you can't forgive, for example, that Crystal Palace game when he was ridiculed for having one touch from the kickoff, I think one other, and a couple in the second half. That's not a football team style. That's a player that's not putting himself in the correct position to be able to interchange with his team. That's a player that's almost hiding behind other players because, as Robbo said, he's lost his confidence. The crowd were getting on his back. The fans were not particularly amused at his rhetoric and his attitude. And whilst, as you know, I don't think, in my opinion, Chelsea handled it particularly well, he handled it horribly because he piled the pressure on himself and then he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I get it that Chelsea are a little bit pedestrian, at times pedestrian with their passing, but come on, in the last 3 months of the season when he wasn't a regular, I'll give you that, half the time you couldn't find him.
Mm.
That's not down to Thomas Tuchel, that's down to the player.
Robbo, Stevie Nicol obviously has been highly critical of Lukaku over the years, and he is in somewhat in I told you so mode, that when he's up against weaker opposition, defenders who aren't as good, he can bully them, he can take advantage of that. But when he's up against a proper organised defence, he doesn't have that quality that you need at the Premier League level, at the top level, to break down these sides.
Yeah, to a certain degree, I would say that I agree with Stevie. There's been times when he first went to Inter, the first 5-6 games, the players kept on looking at him and saying, we want to pass the ball into you then, you've made the wrong run. We wanted to hit it over the top and you've made the wrong run. And Antonio Conte got to him and must have worked with him week in, week out, day in, day out, and made him a far better player. Now, I still don't think when he's left to his own devices, he's got the game understanding that some other players have got. But when he's in a formulated pattern of play, which Antonio Conte had at Inter, he was outstanding along with Martinez. Is he going to get that if he goes back to Inter with Simeone Inzaghi? I'm not so sure. The ideal move for him would have been one to Tottenham, but obviously with Harry Kane, that's not going to be the case.
Jules, obviously you look at this and you kind of think no matter what he goes back to Inter and achieves in this second stint, always his performances for Manchester United and Chelsea will be held against him when you look back at his legacy at domestic level.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he in a way, the 2 years at Milan, especially the second one, was, which is what he wanted. He wanted to show people he had a point to prove. He said that many times. And in a way, that kind of corrected a bit what a lot of people thought of his time in England. And he was like saying, you see, I can do this. I can be one of the top strikers in Europe. And now this season at Chelsea has just brought all the past back. And then we've forgotten a bit how good it was for Inter. And I think this is it. He will go back because that transfer will happen. And he will have almost to go back from the beginning, from scratch, to show again, to prove a point and say, you know what, that season at Chelsea was just an accident. There's the curse of the number nine, there's Tuchel, his communication, anything. There's a lot of reasons why it didn't happen.
his responsibility, of course, as well, a lot of it. But then he will have to try to have another good season minimum to say, you know what, that was just an accident. It was a freak season for many reasons, but look how good I can still be, which, again, is going to probably be even harder than the first spell in Inter.
I think he could have posted some good numbers.
I think everybody did, didn't they?
I think it's down to him. I mean, I can't remember what the graphic said. Was it 15? Right. Yeah. 15 goals.
Yeah, 15.
Right, okay, and you might argue, where were the goals scored? What opposition were they against? Blah, blah, blah. All right, forget that for the time being. All I'm saying is he's posted 15 with his head buried in the sand, right? Basically, for, you know, apart from the first 2 or 3 months of the season, he then had injuries, he had COVID, he had that ridiculous interview, he got dropped, he lost his confidence, he didn't want to be there, and still managed to get 15 goals.
Yeah.
If he had his head right from the start, and not everybody agrees with tactics, and not everybody agrees with the way the manager plays, and sometimes you've got to put up with that, but if he'd had his head right, got around all that, forgot about Inter Milan, forgot about these interviews suggesting that about going back to Italy, piling the pressure on himself, he could easily have got well into the 20s.
Yeah.
Easily. And then nobody would have said, had he not given the interview and he'd scored 25 goals, oh, this is a disaster. But he's brought it on himself. He's managed to get 15 goals playing with his head really where it shouldn't be. So it's basically just down to him, nobody else.
But what's interesting when you take a look at the history of big signings that Chelsea have made, we've kind of trying to put in inflation in this statistic as well, is that they have made so many bad decisions over the years and wasted a lot of money in doing so.
Well, Fernando Torres was, as you know, at one point was arguably the best striker on the planet, but he was over the hill when he arrived. And
completely.
He wasn't. I believe it was Ancelotti at the time, and Ancelotti, I believe, did not want him. It was above his head, let's get him in. So it's not all been management decisions, it's been above their heads, but yeah, there's some good players in there. You could throw in, on, I don't know what he cost, but Shevchenko.
Yeah, of course, Shevchenko could be in
the end of
as
his
well.
Career.
He was 31 million at the time when he made that move.
Who's the anti-American?
Well, it's interesting because you could say, oh, Christian Pulisic, 70 million, but he hasn't failed.
Havertz hasn't. He just hasn't.
No, but I think the thing is, it's a lot of money for Pulisic, who isn't guaranteed a starting place. Kepa is sat on the bench. Lukaku wasn't.
Well, Kepa was a disaster. I mean, he's been a good backup, but you don't want a backup at 75 million.
Yeah.
But as his general, when he was the number one, he was not good. I mean, the players lost confidence in him. The crowd lost confidence in him. We saw games where, when he wasn't having a good game, the players almost, you know, talking to each other about him. And it was just horrible. Whether he goes away and resurrects his career as a number one again, which I think he needs to do, he probably will, and he needs to do it fast. But the other ones are kind of squad players, aren't they? And I mean, that's where we are these days. You know, it's a bit like saying, you know, you get people at Diego Jota and one or two others at Liverpool and some at Man City. Jack Grealish, 100 million. Is he going to play every week?
Mm.
No, he's not. He's not Kevin De Bruyne, is he? He's not going to play every week. So they've not been brilliant, these players, but I suppose
the thing is, like,
it's the nature of the rotation of the game these days.
But for Jack Grealish, like, City are trending in very much the right direction, aren't they?
I mean, if we're looking at disasters, people will say Fernando Torres scored, what was it, in the Champions League?
Yeah, against Barcelona.
But as a general rule of thumb, I used to go down to Stamford Bridge back when we were covering games there, and the fans around us, the fans around where we were broadcasting from, were chuckling at themselves. He'd be falling over the ball and just doing stuff I never saw him do at Liverpool. He clearly had lost a couple of yards in pace. He'd had an injury, bad injury with his thigh previous to that, and he'd lost his confidence. Yeah. He just was never the same player that first arrived in England from Atletico Madrid.
It's a lot of money, Jules, they've spent.
A lot of money. Torres, of course, and Craig is right. Carlo Ancelotti didn't even know that they were signing him until he was told on the last night of that January transfer window. The others, so you can sign players who are expensive, but if you look even at the most expensive players in the rest of Europe, not just at Chelsea, the one especially above the 100 million euros mark, not many of them have been a success. So there's clearly an issue there with
how heavy the price tag is, maybe the pressure, maybe someone's just not good enough and they were you overpaid, because sometimes that happens. It happens a lot at Chelsea, yes, but it happens with all the big clubs. And this is quite fascinating, really. But for Chelsea, there's been issues. And we said the number nines, a lot of the number nines have struggled at that club as well before Lukaku.
Just quickly, I know there's an age and contract thing, but just to put it in perspective, Bayern Munich have just signed a guy who would roast almost all of those players, certainly the ones in his position, you know, Pulisic, Havertz, these kind. Sadio Mane, at half the price of that? I know he's an older player, but not that old. And Bayern Munich have got him. Liverpool got him for a good fee, sold him for a good fee, and got five good years out of him of what it was for half the price of a Pulisic and a Havertz and others. That's proper business.
Yeah.
Chelsea just look as if they've been throwing it around.
What do you think, Robbo?
Dollars.
Well, the problem is that's when you have a director of football, you have somebody going and making the signings that don't always consult with the manager because they don't always work together. The manager needs to have a system of play where the players fit into that system. And sometimes if a director of football or a chief executive goes and buys players that they don't fancy, you're always going to have problems. And it happens time and time again. Until they give the managers more power to buy the players, you're going to have problems like this.
It's an interim sporting director. I keep interrupting you today.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just you're very fast to get away.
Well, I'm not getting away.
Interim sporting director at Chelsea is the new owner.
There you go.
Todd Bowley.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that.
Talking about poking your nose in where it's not wanted.
I'm sure it'll go well. What could possibly
I get it. He signs the cheques. I get that.
Yeah.
But is he sporting director? What, is he telling people who they're signing now as well? In the meantime,
All will be revealed, of course. It's gone both ways for Chelsea. Of course, they got $100 million for Eden Hazard. We're expecting him and Gareth Bale to set things in light in La Liga last season. That really did not happen. Gareth Bale, of course, now a free agent with very much both eyes pretty much on the World Cup in November. Suggestions are that his people are in talks with Cardiff City, currently plying their trade in the second tier of English football. Shaka, does this make sense to you?
It makes sense in that you've seen the best of Gareth Bale when he's gone back home on international duty. So he's clearly happy, he's clearly comfortable in the Red of Wales. I don't see why it would make much of a difference for Cardiff. Nobody's really questioned Gareth Bale's ability, or certainly his ability to do it in short stints for the Welsh national team. It's just about how much he seems to be enjoying the game, and if that enjoyment comes in playing for Cardiff, his home team, then fair enough. But from a sporting perspective, from a competition perspective, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. But then nothing about Gareth Bale has for the last few years.
Robbo, we know what is expected of you in the Championship. And if he's using this as 3 months to prepare for the World Cup in Qatar, for Wales, is this necessarily the best preparation? Because we know there's a game every 3 or 4 days, which obviously he won't be playing in it, all of them, but surely people are going to be able to kick you.
Yeah, they'll probably be able to kick, and the referees allow you to get away with a bit more in the Championship, as we saw in the Championship playoff final and the semi-finals. But if he goes to Cardiff, he's going to play most weeks, or he's got the choice to play most weeks. He maybe sort of pulls an injury every so often just to give himself a rest. But if he goes to a Premier League club that are trying to get into the Champions League and he's not in the side, then that's not great preparation. This is a player that hasn't played enough football over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Now he's got a chance, if he goes to somewhere like Cardiff, to play week in, week out, get his fitness back, get his confidence back and be a top class player again and ready for the World Cup. So it would work for me.
I'm slightly the opposite to the boys here. I mean, I get it. If there's absolutely nothing else of reasonable quality, then fine. But I don't see, apart from that, any reason for him to be going to the Championship. It's a get on the bus on a Saturday and travel. It's a get on the bus on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and travel. And OK, he might not do that all the time. But if you play in the Championship, you really got to want to play in the Championship.
Right.
Or you really got to understand you're there because you deserve to be there. You've been relegated or promoted from the league below. And they're all after something. They're all after getting up there. He's not. He's just after keeping himself fit in a little bit. And it's a physical league and it's very, very demanding. And I really think you can put yourself in danger if you go into these kind of leagues where players are trying to prove themselves. And rightly so, if you go in half-hearted And I think that's how he is at the moment. He's half-hearted, his only interest is preparation for the World Cup. And quite frankly, I think he'd be better off somewhere else.
Where?
Staying in Spain somewhere, or, you know, somewhere mid-table or lower in the Premier League. Just, you know, I just don't think the Championship is a particularly good fit unless you've got nothing else. It's a bun fight, and it always has been and always will be.
Well, to keep up to date with all the latest news regarding Gareth Bale's future and indeed all those big transfers during the summer, be sure to check out Transfer Talk, which is available over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's official then, Sadio Mane presented as a Bayern Munich player after that, making that switch from Liverpool, signing a contract that will keep in the Bundesliga till at least 2025. And it'll be his new side that will kick off the Bundesliga season once again live on ESPN Plus. Bayern away against Eintracht Frankfurt on Friday, August the 15th. And then a full round of matches on Saturday and Sunday, including some good big ties. You've got a Berlin derby plus Borussia Dortmund against Bayer Leverkusen. ESPN FC then back on your screens tomorrow. Stevie Nally will be with me, and goodness knows what Frank will be wearing. Worth tuning in just to see that, surely, for sure. You're off tomorrow, Craig.
Yeah, thankfully.
Says everybody. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned there. Robble, Juice and Shaka back for extra time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley is with us here in the studio. Shaka Hislop, Stuart Robson here as well. As is Julian Aron. And Jules, I feel that we should talk about what you put on social media early today. Just give us the context of this goal.
Yeah, that's what I do. You know, I score that kind of goals all the time. Of course, I'm a free agent this summer, so if any club wants a striker, deep-lying midfielder, I can play in many positions. I'm that good. So just the vision, you see, you know, I've scanned before. You don't really see on the video. There's Pires there, Bamba from Lille, and yes. Philippe Cristanval, the former Barcelona defender there. And I just see the space, I run, great run, and then I see the keeper coming out.
Yes, the goalkeeper doesn't exactly put up much of an effort here to stop you, Jules.
I'm too quick. Well. Just too quick. Just like lightning fast.
Who was the goalkeeper, Jules?
Shaka. Charlie Tange, the former Liverpool. I mean, not that he played much for Liverpool, but Charlie Tange, yes.
What was it in aid of? Was it a charity match, Jules?
Yeah, it was a charity match that we played in Paris not long ago. My first ever club, by the way. Like we brought the team back 30 years later, or 35 years later. It was great to see everyone, and we played against the Dream Stars, which is a team of current professional players, former professional players, to raise money for charity. It was a lovely afternoon.
Oh, yes. Topped off by the gold, which, by the way, you told our producer you should really put in the show today.
Yeah, is what, and because no, we were...
that's what I heard, Jules. It's like, oh, have you seen our goal? That's very nice.
He went like that. That minute, that'll take a minute. Yeah, get that
in. There it is. Good. And how are you, Robbo? Talk us through your fashion. What are you wearing today?
I've got to say, I had a jacket on, but it was very hot. It's very hot in England at the moment. I was too warm, so I took it off and put just a little cardigan on, or a little tank top, as I think they called it in the 70s, 80s. A little tank top on.
Yeah. There you go. You could have just gone shirt, Robbo.
You could have bought a fine robe.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't. That's too unprofessional. You've got to put something over the shirt.
Shaka, how much thought do you give what you wear on the show?
Very little.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
Whatever's clean. I just go for whatever's clean, basically.
He gives the same thought as the thought about all the noises he normally get in his house.
Yeah.
Like airplanes going over.
Yes.
Are we going to say air conditioning unit? But he's never got that.
No air conditioning unit. A chair. Where's that chair appeared from, Jack? That's new in the corner.
Oh. That's just my dining room chair that I was too lazy to move.
See, Robbo takes hours preparing. You can't even move the chair.
I think he needs to upgrade those lamps now. Time for an upgrade.
By the way, Dan, yes. You showed a clip of Jules going past the goalkeeper. What about Gab? Have you got any pictures of him or clips of him going past goalkeepers?
No.
Shaka, why do all these players' documentaries show Shaka as the critic? First it was Neymar, now in the Pogmentary, it's his clip that's played when Pogba talks about silencing the critics.
Who, me? I'm in the Pogmentary?
Yes.
You're in that more than you're in the studio.
I don't know. I haven't heard the one. I heard your voice on Pogba's, Dan. Yeah. On the, we call it the preview, whatever. But I didn't realise I was in that one too.
Yeah.
I have to listen.
It pays people to make sure it gets inserted.
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Jules, wasn't he in the French one as well? What was the French one he was in? It was something that the magazine... Do you remember?
Yeah, I can't remember where it was.
It was something, I don't know, maybe something PSG. Anyway, what were the surprise things that you weren't allowed to do by clubs according to your contract during your vacation days?
Ski.
You're not allowed to ski?
I had no interest in skiing anyway.
No.
Riding a motorbike.
Fly planes.
Okay. Oh, you got in trouble for that, Shaq, didn't you?
You can't fly a plane.
I did.
Yeah.
Jumping out of planes.
I was going to do a private pilot's license. I got the PFA, certainly PFA also like subsidize if any courses you want to do for, you know, any professional courses for after your career. So I wrote to them, said that I was thinking about becoming a commercial pilot. And the first step to that was doing a private pilot's license. So they agreed, I think they fund like 50% or whatever it is of it. Signed up to do this private pilot's license. And the pilot told a mate of his who phoned up Soccer AM, which is a TV show in the UK, and told them. And Glenn Roeder pulled me and said I couldn't do it.
Oh. Would you get on a plane if he was?
What if Shaka?
Would you get on a plane? You're just putting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
You're just putting your bags in. Good morning. This is the captain speaking. Nigel Shaka Hislop.
Why is he Nigel Hislop?
Nigel, isn't he?
No, Neil.
Neil. Oh, I messed up. Neil, Nigel, same thing. You'd be straight off, wouldn't you?
It would never take off on time, would it, with Shaka? I mean, he's always late for everything.
Yeah, the pilot would be sleeping.
Yes, Shaka does like a nap.
This is the pilot's speaking, Shaka Hislop. I'll leave you with a co-pilot. I'm going for a nap for a couple of hours.
Autopilot would never have been used more. Robbo, what weren't you allowed to do?
I'm just doing my, what is it he does? Top 10.
It's top 10, yes, power rankings.
We're just going to circle London for another 20 minutes. I'm doing my top 10 power rankings.
Then Don comes in as co-pilot. You haven't mentioned Rangers.
Don would say, Twitter's telling me to go to the left. Twitter's just told me to land on runway 3000. What was that?
Oh, dear.
Did you see the thing he put on social media today, Don? Where he'd been cycling.
Right.
Right. And he's put his route on, right? This is your classic,
right? I saw this, yeah.
And he's put his route on, 16 kilometres, whatever, and then he's blacked out where he lives.
Yes. As if...
You don't have to be Columbo to work out where his house is.
I know. All the landmarks around his house.
It goes all the way around, yeah. And then the line goes back round, and it meets up, obviously, where he started, yeah. And then there's a big black bit of filled in.
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder where Don lives.
Yes. Oh, that pub there. That's Mark.
21 Woodlands Drive, Loughton. That's where he lives.
There you go.
I was looking at it and I thought,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. Robbo, what weren't you allowed to do?
Well, I think everybody had in their contracts of a certain age in the 80s that you weren't allowed to go and get treatment off anybody else. You had to have treatment off the club. And. Uh-huh. I went away from that because their physio at Arsenal, first of all, and then at West Ham were both unqualified. And I said that if I don't get treatment from a proper physio, then I'm going to have problems playing again. So I went away from the club, which caused a lot of problems, and got my treatment elsewhere. So the club had to decide, were they going to fire me? Were they going to allow me to do it? Or was I going to have to pay for it myself? Well, I paid for it myself and I got back playing. So that I was proved right in the end.
I was a must.
30 years later, Robbo's still going around going, I proved them right.
Tell you what, I was a rebel when it came to getting treatment.
Right.
Because you wanted to do the best for yourself. And we've discussed this before. Sometimes club physios have just got too much on because they're treating everybody. But Robbo's definitely taught me in the rebel stakes.
Yes.
Going to fighting the club physios.
Of course.
100%. I used to, 100%.
Yep.
Number one, he's straight in there.
He hasn't mentioned Princess Diana, though, in the last 10 minutes. That's good when he's talking about his physical therapy and all that. That's a story Robbo brings up all the time. Isn't it? That's who you went to, Robbo?
No, he didn't go to Princess Diana.
No, I do not.
There's a strange man come in here.
Why is he shouting about Arsenal?
The trouble is, she was fitter than Shaka.
Oh, Shaka, what have you done?
Shaka, you get it. Robbo.
A pilot. A pilot.
Captain Shaka. I like it.
A pilot. Biggles, old Biggles there. Good grief.
Robbo, how would you rate the players that Arsenal have signed and are being linked to? What's the best of that lot, according to you? Do you want the list, Robbo? Well, have you been paying attention?
I have been paying attention. Vieira is, I think, a decent signing, although he's they've got a lot of attacking players. He's good in the top third of the field. I think he was the under-21 European player of the tournament last season. He scored some good goals for Porto. He was creative for Porto. He had an outstanding season. So hopefully he can produce that sort of form for Arsenal. But they said that about Ceballos when he went there. And he didn't really pull up any trees. So he's probably the best player. Marquinhos is a young winger that they say can be a real talent, only 19. And of course, the goalkeeper from America, who's they're the only three signings. They are looking at Jesus, but they want a centre forward. Jesus told Manchester City last year that he was a right winger. Well, they've got Saka out there, they can play Martinelli, they can also play Odegaard in a sort of second centre forward position. They need an out and out centre forward. I'm not sure Jesus is their man.
Speaking of Matt Turner, Shaka, should he compete with Ramsdale at Arsenal or seek a loan for probably more playing time at a lesser club? Any Premier League clubs you think need a starting goalkeeper?
I don't think Turner gets in ahead of Ramsdale. I think he needs to find a club to go on loan and have some playing time, or go the way of Zach Stefan, who I think was an equally talented goalkeeper, but has regressed just because he hasn't gotten any minutes over the last couple of seasons up at Manchester City. I know there are others around, and Craig will tell you about it, who thinks Turner will push Ramsdale. Personally, I just don't see it. I think Ramsdale is a better goalkeeper. So it may leave the US with arguably their most two talented goalkeepers in Turner and Stefan, not seeing a lot of minutes between now and the World Cup.
The last time you were watching the New England Revolution, who Turner played for, you didn't even know what the score was in the game. So how the hell do you know what the goalkeeper did?
Right, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I haven't really seen much of him, but if at all, but according to Kevin Hitchcock,
your best man,
the best man at my wedding,
yes,
who's the goalkeeping coach at New England Revolution, former Man City, Blackburn goalie coach, rates him very, very highly. Thinks he could be pushing Ramsdale very soon. The only issue I would have is that one of the things Ramsdale has done particularly well, and one of the reasons he was brought in, compared to Leno, is very good with his feet. And they're able to utilise a style of play, playing the ball back to him under pressure and then playing out from the back. I don't know if Matt Turner can do that, is comfortable with that, because it's a big, whether we like it or not, it's a big part of the game now. And from a goalkeeping perspective, and the standard goalkeeping situation, very good. But that's the other strength to Ramsdale's bow, is that he plays the ball out from the back under pressure. What?
It's the most serious you've been for weeks.
Am I really talking about a goalie?
Well, I know, very much so. Just because your best man said it.
Well, he texted me and then I told him. He kept texting me.
Right.
It was when the US were playing, telling me how good he was. I said, I'm not watching.
Right.
And then he says, you know, he's going to be this. I said, tell him just to catch the ball and shut up.
Right.
He's a goalie.
Okay.
Stop telling me how good he is.
Well.
He gets paid to catch.
Hey, there you are. You've just reiterated.
I just thought I'd give you a more defined analysis.
Thank you very much.
Of Ramsdale.
Well, thank you very much. Robert, how much do you rate Ramsdale?
He's done a great job for Arsenal. I mean, as Craig said, he's quite good with his feet. He's made some top-class saves. The crowd love him. The players seem to back him as well. They've got utmost trust in him. So I'm not sure Matt Turner's going to take his place unless Ramsdale has a poor start to the season, which I don't think he will.
Would Tyler Adams, Jules, joining Leeds be a good move by the team and also be beneficial for Adams as well? Or is a player moving to a new club because of the manager not always the best reason?
No, I think it would be a good idea. I think his time at Leipzig has been tough, really, between the injuries, between, I think, the difference of culture and everything. And I think, you know, coming to England, which really, I think, must have been the idea when he came to Europe, that at some point he would come into the Premier League, I think would make a lot of sense, on top of being reunited with Jesse Marsh, of course, who knows him really well. And the style of play, even at Leeds under Marsh, fits him perfectly. So I think it would be a very good idea. There's Brendan Aaronson over there already. So he will have, it would be in the right environment, I think. Maybe better than Leipzig.
These are all good players. I just don't know if I can cope on a personal level.
Right.
With any more of these American players going to the Premier League.
Okay.
I just don't know. The weekends are hard enough without people going, oh, he's not playing. Oh, he's on the bench. Oh, what have they got against America? Oh, God, what does this mean? I just don't know. What does this mean for the World Cup?
Right.
What does this mean? What is it? Oh, he's not playing. Oh, you must hate him. Oh, they must hate American players. Oh, I don't know so much one man.
It's like Football America's all over again.
Oh, he's not playing. They just don't get it. They don't get it.
Did you enjoy your time on Football Mirror?
Not really.
Oh. Will you be going back?
No, I doubt it. the money wasn't suffice.
Speaking of money, here we go. For all of them, how much do you think you'd be worth in today's market? So what was your big move from Celtic to Derby?
Oh, two. There were big moves at the time.
How much was that?
$2.5 million from Chelsea to Celtic.
Right.
In 96, 97, and $3 million in 99.
Okay.
So you can...
How should we monetize that in today's market, Jules?
Oh, mid-90s is like...
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. Craig was very good.
Nobody went for... You'd have to look at what the top transfer was at that point.
Right.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
And it might have been around, I don't know. Did anybody go for 10 million then? I'm not sure they did.
Okay.
Just nobody. I remember somebody saying to me, oh, we'll be seeing the £100,000 a week footballer soon. And we were like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yep. No chance.
And Neymar's on 43 million a year.
we were like, right, no chance. So that was quite a lot of money.
Can we say 30 million? That's probably about right.
25, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'd say. Now, Robbo, you were captain of England under-21s. You were hammer of the year. Now, you put the Englishness in you as well. That ups your value automatically.
Well, when I signed for West Ham from Arsenal, which came as a surprise to everybody, including me, I think, I'm right in saying, it was the biggest transfer of that season, along with Ian Snodden, who went from Leeds to Everton, who were then the title holders, and it was 750,000. That was the biggest transfer of that season, or that year, I think. So it would have been quite a big fee now, I would imagine.
I think about 30 million as well, Robbo.
Yeah, I would say about that.
Right. Meanwhile, Shaka, you were the most expensive goalkeeper in English football at one stage.
British transfer, yeah. That was going from Reading to Newcastle. That was £1.5 million in 1995.
I'd say 30 million now.
£650 million.
Meanwhile, Jules, of course, with the expertise we saw you produce in your charity match, you usurp all of those figures, surely.
Oh, 50.
50 million?
Yeah, 50 minimum, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
My dad would take £20 million as well on commissions.
No, the problem is you hired for some reason Gab as your agent, and he's talked everybody out of it.
Yeah, every he was just about to get 100,000
pounds. He came in short for the meeting for the negotiations.
Yeah. He was just about to get his 150,000 a week, and then Gab just told another story, and the chairman went, "Get out! Get out! No more! Out!"
You know the history of this pen, don't you?
No!
Now, Dan, if there was a transfer for either Gab or Jules going to another podcast, who would be transferred for the most money, do you reckon?
Well, I think Jules would pay them to take Gab. Man. I think that would be, that's how that would work.
Is there any truth in the rumour that Gab's going to just get some cardboard cutouts in? He's going to sit and just talk.
Talk at the cardboard cutouts. Right, final question for Robbo. Oh, we're going a bit Arsenal here, Robbo. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about Gab's hate of Bergkamp over the week.
Good grief. Mm.
Start, bench or sell, Ian Wright, Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp.
What's the question?
Who would you start? Who would you bench? Who would you sell?
I would go with... I'd start with Bergkamp because I thought he had talents that not many other players had in that number 10 role at the time.
You hate Thierry Henry.
Oh, I do. Absolutely. And I'd go with Ian Wright as the next one. And whatever Thierry Henry is, he's the last vote for me.
Wow, there we are. Robbo.
Yeah.
Why?
I've got to be careful what I say here. Arsenal for when he was there for the last two seasons, and I thought his work rate for those last two seasons was poor. The Champions League final, I thought he, and Villarreal in the semi-final, I thought he didn't give enough effort to the club or the team, and I was really disappointed in that. So I was never a great fan of Thierry Henry. Brilliant player, great goal scorer, magnificent. But in terms of character, I didn't like him.
That's, you know what I'm hearing, Jules? Anti-French.
Yeah. Oh, no,
yeah.
You could be right there. You could be right. I don't like Jules either.
Put
Wenger in there.
Arsene Wenger, it's all coming together.
Julien Laurent, yeah.
I tell you what, next you'll be talking about Jules Grimondi.
Yeah, yeah. Jean-Pierre Papin, they're all getting it. That is it.
No wonder there's an invisible force field around the Emirates and he gets zapped every time he goes close.
Yeah, he gets into trouble. Still not allowed in the Emirates, old Stuart Robson. That is it. Thank you very much. Get back to your pilot lesson, Shaq. ESPN FC back on your screens.
This is the captain speaking.
Sort yourself out. Goodbye.